So, tonight, I want to introduce you to somebody that a lot of us don't ever hear about. If Pastor Aaron was here, I'd probably have to keep him quiet because he would know who I was talking about. And all the questions that I ask, he would know all the answers to them. But most people don't. Now, the strange thing is, if we had Orthodox Jews here, they would be able to tell, they'd answer all my questions. They'd know it all because they study the Old Testament scriptures. And so this is very important. Now, when I was young, moderately young, I was about 16 or so, my dad got a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This is King James and everything. But when he wasn't looking, I'd take it and I'd look in it to see how this thing worked. Well, in the back, there were all these little appendixes. And one of them was the kings of the people of God. Now, the first two, of course, were David and Solomon. And then Solomon didn't do so good. So God broke the kingdom in half. And we had the northern kingdom that was Israel and the southern kingdom that was Judah. Now Judah was the people who were supposed to be following God. And they were the ones who were the people from David and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't do that great a job about it. The northern kingdom, when you looked at it, it would say, the kings of the northern kingdom, all evil. Now see, when you got to the ones from Judah, it would tell you, good king, bad king, whatever. But for the north, they just said, all evil, sorry, none of them are worthwhile. And the worst of them, of course, was Ahab. He did all kinds of stuff you couldn't believe. But worse than him was a guy in Judah named Manasseh. So I'm going to tell you about him.
You want to move that way so
I'm going to move that way so people can see what you flip on. There you go. So.
No, it's fine. I just want. If you need him to move farther, say.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. Sorry, yeah.
Okay. So this is from 2 Kings.
2 Kings 21, chapter 21, verses 1 to 18.
And this is the New International Version, just so in case you need to know.
Yep. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And we'll talk about how that worked out in a minute. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, imitating the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had dispossessed before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had destroyed and reestablished the altars for Baal. He made an Asherah pole, as King Ahab of Israel had done. He also worshipped the whole heavenly host and served them. He built altars in the Lord's temple, where the Lord had said, Jerusalem is where I will put my name. He built altars to the whole heavenly host in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. He made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and divination, and consulted mediums and spiritists. Now, pass through the fire for his son basically means he burned him up. I will never again.
No, it's he did.
What?
He did. It's after spiritists.
After spiritists. Oh, he did a great amount of evil in the Lord's sight, provoking him. Manasseh set up the carved image of Asherah, which is a fertility god of the Ammonites, which he made in the temple that the Lord had spoken about to David and his son Solomon, and said, I will establish my name forever in this temple and in Jerusalem. which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. I will never again cause the feet of the Israelites to wander from the land I gave to their ancestors, if only they will be careful to do all I have commanded them, the whole law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen. Manasseh caused them to stray so that they did greater evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, since Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed all these detestable things, greater evil than the Amorites who preceded him had done, and by means of his idols has also caused Judah to sin, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I'm about to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that everyone who hears about it will shudder. I'll stretch over Jerusalem and Judah, over Jerusalem, the measuring line used on Samaria and the mason's level used on the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem clean as one wipes a bowl, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and hand them over to their enemies. They will become plunder and spoil to all their enemies because they have done what is evil in my sight and have provoked me from the day their ancestors came out of Egypt until today. Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem with it from one end to the other. This was in addition to his sin that he caused Jerusalem to cause Judah to commit. Consequently, they did what was evil in the Lord's sight. The rest of the events of Manasseh's reign, along with all his accomplishments and the sin that he committed, are written in the historical records of Judah's kings. Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, the Garden of Uzzah. His son Amon became king in his place. Guess what? Amon didn't do any better. Well, actually, he couldn't do any worse. A little better, maybe, I guess you'd say. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to learn from it. Help me to explain it. Guide us in all we do, and guide us in our studies. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Manasseh's father was Hezekiah. Hezekiah is listed as being the best king that the nation of Judah ever had. Obviously, the best king that is the whole people of Israel ever had was David. But Hezekiah was the best king after they had split the kingdom in half. Manasseh was the worst king. I even just said that. He was the worst king Judah ever had. He exceeded Ahab, who was about the worst king anybody had ever seen before. But still, he was the longest reigning king, 55 years. Now, Hezekiah made him co-regent at 12. And what that means is he was like the assistant king to his father. Hezekiah was trying to teach him how to be the man of God that God wanted for the king of Judah. He didn't listen. He didn't like what his father was teaching. So he rebelled. He didn't like following the Lord. He wanted to go off on his own, and he wanted to follow all of the stuff that everybody else did in hopes of making friends with them. He began to undo all that Hezekiah had done. Now, one of the most interesting things about this is this also comes up in the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah had a lot. Yes?
Okay, I'm going to ask a question before everything ends. Is Freemasonry bad?
Do what?
Is Freemasonry bad? Freemasonry?
In a way, yes, it is. It started out to be good,
yeah,
and it got off onto the wrong things. But in Isaiah, when it talks about this time period, they talk about the fact that the king of Assyria had shown up at the gates of Jerusalem, and he kept telling the people of Judah, isn't Hezekiah the one who did away with all of the Lord's altars all over Judah? The answer actually is no, he didn't. What Hezekiah did was he got rid of what they called high places. They were the places where they went off and they worshipped all of these little gods of localities. And he ended that. He said, no, this is the nation of Judah, and we worship the Lord God in him only. And we don't put up with people worshiping anything else. Well, now Hezekiah comes back and he says, open them all up again. Go out and start worshiping all of these strange gods.
Manasseh said that.
What?
Manasseh did that,
yes. So Manasseh's got this all turned back, and then he desecrated the temple. He didn't just open up all the high places. He put altars to all of these evil false gods from the other nations around him in the temple of God. Some in one court, some in the other, some right inside the temple. He built this Asherah pole. Now, an Asherah pole, Asherah was a fertility goddess. And the way you worshipped her was to get as many guys and girls as you could and go out and have sex with everybody. That's, you know, God wasn't happy about that, let me tell you. He made human sacrifice. Now, this is one thing that God made it very clear from the very beginning, way back in Genesis. We don't play that here. You don't sacrifice humans because humans are made in the image of God. So we don't sacrifice them. Why would you sacrifice my image to me? We don't do that. And he led people astray. He led them into doing things that they should not do because he made it to their advantage. If they did it, now they're well-liked and everybody's helping them out. But if they actually followed the Lord God, they persecuted them. Kind of sounds like what's happening now. They became worse than the people God had wiped out. Now, when you look in Joshua, as they came into the promised land, God said, I am not wiping these people out because the nation of Israel is good. I'm wiping these people out because they're so bad. And I'm hoping I can turn Israel good. Well, they got a little better, and then they'd be worse, and back and forth. They could never stick with God. We don't know why. God was the only one who ever helped them out. Now, an interesting thing about this is the story of Hezekiah, the father, takes 3 chapters to tell. That's how much good stuff he did. It took him 3 chapters to get through it all and to say how good Hezekiah was. His son takes a half a chapter. Basically, he's low down, high smelling, totally worthless, and he died. Who cares? Okay. Lots of prophets tried to turn the people back. They came and they said, God does not want you to do this. And if you look, you see Isaiah, Jeremiah, both prophesied what we call pre-captivity when they went to Babylon. We have a number of prophets that are the minor prophets, they're just little bitty ones, and they basically prophesied in specific areas, trying to turn those specific areas back to God, had very little effect. But there were lots of them, and they're trying to help the people. Manasseh led the people of Judah as far from God as he could get them. It says that he was worse than the Ammonites, and he was even worse than Ahab. Ahab, at that time, had pretty much set the standard for a bad king. God pronounced the greatest judgment in history against these people. I mean, he tore them down. He had everybody around him attack them. And eventually he brought in the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and he just carried him all away. And he carried everything from the temple away, including the stuff that Manasseh had put there, most of which they got rid of later. But he locked in the fact that they were going to have this captivity. God just said, no, I have to get these people out of here. I have to give them punishment. Now see, this is the principle. You can agree with it or not, but this is the principle that people use in punishing people. Well, let's put them in jail. And if they spend long enough in jail, they'll decide they don't want to go back and they'll obey the law to keep from going back. Well, apparently in this instance it worked. When they came back from Babylon, they had turned around. The kings that followed Manasseh, some of them tried to turn back, but it was just too far gone. You couldn't get it turned around. Every time they would try to turn back to God, the people would fight against them because, no, we liked what Manasseh taught us. And then it says, Manasseh was not buried in the tombs of the kings. He was buried in his own garden. They wouldn't let him be with the kings of the dynasty of David. He was followed by his son, who God called evil, but he was still better than Manasseh. I mean, that's kind of a bad thing to have as your reputation. Well, you're better than Manasseh, but you're really not that great, you know? So what does this mean to us? First of all, sometimes even good upbringing does not help. Hezekiah did everything he could. Didn't help. Direct rebellion to God does not succeed. He just turned everything the wrong way, and God said, watch this. How you like me now, boy? When people of God call you back, you need to come back. If somebody calls out and says, this is not right, this is not what the Word of God says, you need to come back to doing what God said. Political leaders will be held accountable. I always tell this to people who are upset. Some of them have been upset to Republicans, and some of them have been upset about Democrats or whatever, but I always tell them, God's in charge. God will hold them accountable. I personally think our president is not going to fare well. That's not a political statement. That's just a statement of the things he's doing. He's the moral equivalent of an evil king and possibly Manasseh. Our country may wind up being held accountable for what's going on because we're just putting up with it. They just had an election, and the one side campaigned, oh, they won't let you have an abortion. We will. We want you to have an abortion. God sees that in the same light as human sacrifice, and he does not like it. Sometimes it's so bad that even good leaders can't fix it. I'm hoping we have not gone in this country so far away from God that we can't get back. But remember, the legacy of the people who do these things will remain. Like I said, if you were a Jew, you would definitely know who Manasseh is, because he is infamous amongst the Jews as the worst king that ever was, who fought against God more than any king before him or after. And he is the standard for a bad leader. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We just ask you to bless us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help us to see your will and to do it, and to study your word so we know what your will is. Help us to be the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Yep.
Can I ask a few questions real quick?
Sure. Oh, just a second here.